What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 24 of Value Town again. I'm your host, Champman B, and joining us is Trump and Amaz today. Oh, I got a double Trump here. Oh, God. This is just going to be one of them days. But Amaz and Trump will be joining us today, talking about some Hearthstone, and you can see a double Trump here. How awesome
no,
is that?
No, I mashed it off the screen.
What?
That's me. I'm just disguising myself.
Exactly. No, there we go. I don't know how we got a double Trump on there. That's kind of cool. But how are you guys doing today? Ready for some Value Town?
Not so well, since your stream is flickering.
Is it flickering? It's flickering again? Oh, God. Well, okay, we're just going to have to deal with the flickering. I don't know what it is, unfortunately, but we're going to have to fix it. We're going to have to fix it between now and next week. But it shouldn't affect our talk, though. So at the very least, you can listen to us talking. But how you guys doing today? What?
Our beautiful soothing voices.
Exactly. No, we can go true podcast, you know, true radio podcast style today. But sure. Lots to talk about today, though. We got a new season and maybe get some, I don't know, just general thoughts on the wrap-up of the last season and maybe some things that we're going to be trying out this season. And then we can talk some release on the iPad in Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. Pretty cool for those folks that get a chance to play on their mobile devices. And then we'll talk some Priest deck because we have Amaz here. And I've been playing a little bit with the Priest deck too, so we can maybe compare our Priest decks and just talk about just general things, general challenges of the deck. And then Trump, I figured you could give us a final analysis of the Shaman Free deck and just any advice you'd give to a new Shaman like myself. Trying, you know, just any key cards, key plays, that sort of thing. Q&A at the end, as always, guys. And subscribers will get first dibs at the questions, but if they are shy today, then we can ask the questions in the Reddit thread. But let's get started with last season's wrap-up. So how would you describe last season in... Let's see... In four words, four or five words, how would you describe last season? Amaz, I'll let you start. I'll give Trump a second to think about it.
Glad I made 34.
Glad you made 34.
34 is a word, yeah.
Okay,
I think so.
Okay, all right, good. Trump, how about you?
Standard, great success.
Wow, okay. I think for me it would be hunter, zoo. That's, yeah, something hunter, zoo, zoo, hunter, or something like that. But okay, all right. So you guys don't think that last season was really that much different than any others in any significant way?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
I think it
I mean, once you get high up there, yeah, I mean... Everybody plays the same amount of decks. You kind of expect what you're going to see. So,
yeah, I mean, the popular decks this month were different from the ones last month. So it was different, and yet it was the same.
Okay.
Like, there were popular decks. They got played. The decks that beat the popular decks slowly became more popular. And so the cycle continues.
Okay. Sounds good. So new season just started a few days ago, and... but you know what's cool about this season is we didn't have to start at 25 this time around, right? What level did you guys start at, or what rank did you guys start at?
It was a questing adventure. I think that's 17. Yeah, I think that's 17.
I think I started at 16 actually. Trump, how about you?
I started something like 18 or 19, but my main account wasn't Legend.
Oh, okay. So it's just based on what, I guess, where you ended. I wonder what the number one ranked person in Legend started. Maybe at 10 or something.
Something like 16 or 17. They gave the breakdown somewhere.
Oh, okay. But that's kind of nice. You know, it's nice. It probably saves, you know, an extra few hours at the very least, I think. You know, just maybe an hour or two or something like that. I don't know. It's pretty quick, actually, going from 25 to 16. But, yeah, so anyways, that I guess that's something that we can probably expect in the future. But anything you guys are noticing in the first 3 days or anything you guys have planned? Why don't we start with what you guys have planned for the season? Any classes you have planned? Amaz, you just going to keep priesting it out, or
Well, it should be no surprise that, yeah, we'll get to Legend of a Priest and then maybe do something else. Maybe we'll follow Trump's footsteps and make a free-to-play priest before he gets to Legend with a free-to-play priest.
Oh, it could be a
maybe
race.
Maybe it would be a race.
Arms race. Priest that'll race. Be, yeah. That'd be good. That'd be good stuff. Trump.
I'll see myself in the other class.
Okay, cool. Trump, any plans right off the bat?
Oh man, first of all, I'd love to see Amos try out the free-to-play priest. I think if there's anyone who can pull it off, it'd be you. That's go right. you. Right. Let's see, plans? I'll be doing one of the classes free-to-play later this month. And then currently I've continuously been thinking about which, now that Blizzard sort of announced that they're going to be looking at the rankings for Legend a bit more for mm-hmm. like tournament invites and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty serious business, so I want to figure out which deck is best, and that's tough because you have to beat the aggro, you have to beat the control, blah blah blah. Haven't settled on anything yet. I was initially thinking about something like Rogue, but who knows? I'm just gonna let it roll. I'll probably be playing a lot of different decks. That's what I expect.
Okay, so more constructed play just in general from you, Trump, this season versus.
Yep.
I mean, you played a lot last season actually. So, okay, good stuff. Yeah, for those of you who don't know what Trump's referring to, they didn't announce that the next BlizzCon, the Grand Master of Hearthstone, I think that's what it's called, just the BlizzCon event last year, is not going to be invitational this year. It's going to be based upon your ladder rankings from season to season. Maybe just like your aggregate ranking, I believe, like throughout the seasons from now until BlizzCon. So it makes the ladder worth something now, so you guys should probably try as hard as you can each and every season. And it could get you an invite to that end of the season tournament, which could be worth a lot of money. Actually, the prize pool is probably going to be pretty good there. Okay, so anything that you're noticing metagame wise, like even in the first few days, Amaz, notice anything?
Actually, I thought of a very good idea for the Hearthstone Invitational. They should invite one of every class to go there, so I have a chance of making the invitation. But yeah, talking about the metagame, you know, you just see a lot of hunters. So, you know, Priest is doing good against hunters, so that's good. Mm-hmm. You see the ramp up druid starting to get very popular because, you know, people like playing big stuff. So
yeah,
I haven't tried it out myself, but priest as a priest, it's very hard to deal with all those four attack creatures. So. I don't like it.
There's some discussion, at least I know within our circles, the Liquid Valley circle, about whether the Ramp Druid is actually better than the Watcher Druid. Any thoughts on that? Actually, Trump, let me get your thoughts. I haven't gotten your thoughts on that. It's just generally been like Monk, Razor, and I.
Yeah, the popular decks at the end of the last season seem to be the popular decks at the start of this season. And I don't know how much that will hold. I think Hunters may be on their way out. Somewhat tepidly say that, but it's possible because a lot more hate for the Hunters is popping up.
Yeah, a lot more hate and a lot more... I think you're seeing some more classes that are just generally better against the Hunters, too. And I've seen less of it. So, Amaz, you still seen a lot of Hunter? Is that what you're saying?
I see
a lot less, actually.
Well, I see a lot of Miracle Warlocks now. They run Leeroy Overwhelming copy for 20 damage, Soul Fire Face for another 8. Goddamn, it's annoying. That is, yeah. So it's all Hunters and Warlocks for me. And the occasional Druid. But no Warriors. People don't want to spend too much time in the ladder, really. They just want to get the ranks, get to Legend as soon as they can.
It must be the given day, because I think the second day on the new ladder, I played a ton of Warriors. And at the time, I was playing Priest, too, and it's like a terrible matchup with the Warriors.
What? Priest against Warriors, one of the better matchups.
You think it's better? Oh, maybe your deck is actually better. Your deck, I think, is better against Warrior than mine. Mine's really bad against Warrior. So, because you have ooze in yours, so we'll take that back.
Yeah.
But concerning the druid decks, you know, the ramp druid, do you think the watcher druid is better than the ramp druid?
It's better in some ways, worse in some ways. The ramp druid has weaker consistency, but it's stronger if you get like the wild growth on turn two. And the other one is just more overall solid, I'd say.
Yeah, it's pretty close for me too. Muzz, what do you think? You think the Ramp Druid is overall better than the Watcher Druid, or
maybe in a tournament it'll be very good because, you know, people do not like playing aggro in tournaments too much.
Yeah,
that's starting to change, but still it's more of control based. So if you're against control, then whoever controls, whoever has a higher curve generally wins, and that deck is pretty good against that. They run a Black Knight with the Mark the Wild. That's a removal as well, so it's pretty versatile that way.
That play is so fun. Mark of the Wild with Black Knight or Mark of the Wild with BGH. That is pretty cool. That's definitely pretty cool. Okay, well, let's move on. Let's talk about the Shaman. And we talked about it last week when we had Renaud on it, and we had Trump talk about it. But just to refresh you guys, this is the deck. And we all know that Trump made it to Legend, I guess, in the last, I think, maybe day or two of this past season, which is awesome. Congrats, man. Actually, how many classes is that now? You've made it to Legend with a free version.
All right, it's two.
Two, okay. So
Mage
and Shaman. Okay, good. Definitely a good start. So I just want to get your final analysis on it. Anything you want to, I guess, maybe point out, maybe give some advice from the standpoint of playing Shaman, and something you discovered maybe, just as something that you didn't know before when doing this run?
All right. Well, it turns out that I got to Legend slightly. I believe the calculation was made that I was like 15% faster than Mage, just in terms of total wins.
Right.
So it's a good solid deck. I actually played it during a time when Hunter was fairly popular, and this matchup is quite bad against Hunter, so it might even be overall more good than the Mage than that stat lets on.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Two things I discovered are, first of all, the Flame Tongue Totem. I didn't discover it so much because I always hold the Flame Tongue Totem back, and then like you can do the totem dancing. It's as if the totem, if you have like four totems out, has like a battle cry of deal 8 damage, which is amazing.
Yep.
Because you just use the totems to kill stuff, and then your totems slide over to the Flame Tongue, and then you kill even more stuff. That's just a good basic thing to look out for, and it's rarely correct to play the Flame Tongue Totem when you have less than two guys on the board. But against aggro, like, depending on how aggressive they are and how desperate you are, it's okay to use it just to deal 2 damage sometimes. I guess that's the thing I learned about not being too greedy. And let's see.
So general rule, just to bookend your minions with big units?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's also something that I started doing automatically as I played more. You want to put your biggest guys on the left side because that way, based on the way that minions slide over to your Flame Tongue Totem, which you want to put in the center, your big guy gets there last. And that's best because your big guy, you don't want to sack it so that another guy slides over to the Flame Tongue Totem. So I love the creative math that's involved in this. As usual, you have to make sure to plan out different contingencies based on what totem you get. And that you have to think about it before pressing the totem button. So that's fun. And finally, against Hunter, I think I've started to realize that the way to play it is just to be recklessly aggressive against them and have no fear.
Oh, okay. Good stuff. Yeah, I'm just starting out to I'm starting to play Shaman and just realizing just the power of Shaman, but it doesn't have that large of a margin of error. So it definitely takes a really good understanding and especially the style of play for a Shaman. Amaz, have you played much Shaman before?
I suck at Shaman. I do so many bad moves. Yeah. Yeah, even with like deck with all the legendaries in, I still do so bad. So yeah. Definitely not doing any Shaman competitive play anytime soon. But I'm actually interested. Trump, do you have like the number of matches you had to play before you get to a legend?
I have the number of wins I had, and that's somewhere between 180 and 190 off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think it was 186, I believe, was the exact number.
That's actually pretty fast. Considering it's a free play, yeah, it's pretty fast.
Yeah, it's definitely it's definitely impressive. It's, again, that deck you have is really strong. So what do you think about, let's see, did you end up having an Ogre Fist? No, you didn't actually end up having an Ogre in the, here in the end, huh?
Oh, yeah, but it is good to talk about the Ogre. Yeah. So it turns out that the Ogre, which was good in the Mage deck, it's because the Mage deck is a bit slower and more controlling. Actually, it's more of, I don't know if I would run the Ogre in Mage anywhere. Maybe I'd run Argent Commander.
Okay.
It just turns out that you need your 6-drop to do something when it comes into play, I feel.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, this free-to-play looks pretty strong and pretty close to even just some of the top shamans that I've seen just around, like Kalentos and Savis, just some of those guys, what they play. Definitely cool. I'm going to be playing that more, definitely this season.
And as a closing remark, since I see some people in chat saying, like, oh, free-to-play, in quotes.
Yeah.
It's because, I mean, it was an account created newly, and... quick math is that deck takes about 1500 dust to make. I happened to get a gold Manatide Totem in a pack. Woo. I also got a Ysera, but I didn't disenchant it just because I didn't want to get the extra 400 dust boost, and it's actually not good in this deck anyways. Mm-hmm. And it is pretty close to the full Shaman deck that one would run in a tournament. I would probably just cut an Ooze for Blood Mage Thalness. And then from there, you can make adjustments based on which matchups you want to do better against and which ones you want to do worse against.
Mm-hmm. I mean, 1,500 dust, guys, that's nothing. I mean, you can get to 1,500 dust just by playing this game a lot, accruing gold and not even necessarily getting like a Ysera, and that's where in a pack. So
not even a...
Hello? I think you're muted. Is he muted for you, Trump?
Yes, Maz is muted.
Yeah, Maz, I can't hear you, man.
Hello?
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Oh.
Okay, we lost you for a second. I don't know why. You're here in mid-sentence and then cut off. But what were you saying? Oh. Your last point?
I was saying that this is just 1,500 dust, right? It's very easy to get 1,500 dust. Mm-hmm. It's as free to play as it gets.
Yeah, exactly. And I like this. I like the whole kind of concept in this process of, you know, playing as if you were approaching the game for the first time, and you know that aspect of being free to play more so than, you know, literally free, you know, that sort of thing. So really, really cool. I hope you continue doing it, Trump. I can't wait to see the next class that you end up doing. Going to be really cool. Actually, some people were asking about, I guess, a couple particular units. There's the Doomhammer versus Alkyr type of comparisons. I'm wondering what you guys think on it, because I think some decks it's mutually exclusive in some of the decks. So thoughts on both units, Trump?
All right, Doomhammer and Alkyr, they serve somewhat of the same role in that they're very good if the game goes longer. Since Doomhammer, you have to play on turn 5 at earliest, and then you have to use it for 4 more turns to get the full value out of it. And the Alakir, you can only play on turn 8, mm-hmm. and usually you want to play on turn like 9 with a Rockbiter. So it makes the matchup against late game decks better, and it makes the matchup against rush decks worse. That's about the basics of it. And there's a lot of cards which you can change, which will make the deck better against like aggro in general, and the deck better against late game in general. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much up to you on which matchup you want to make better or worse.
Maz, I know you run Ooze in your previous deck, and I'm guessing Shaman's one of the reasons why you do that. Trump, have you felt an impact of just Ooze or Harrison Jones in that kind of decision? Hello?
Wait,
did you hear that?
Was that question directed to Trump?
Yeah, to Trump, sorry. Yeah. Right, to Trump, yeah. Sorry. Trump, have you felt the impact of Ooze or Harrison Jones in just kind of like the decision to run Doomhammer versus Alkyr?
Oh, whoops. I could have sworn you directed that to Maz.
Yeah, I kind of made an example with Maz. It's kind of my bad, but
let's see. The reason why there's two Ooze in here is because I just found them so useful. I started to think of them as hitting like over 50% of the time, and I was never sad to keep it as like a 2 mana 3/2.
Yeah.
I think Harrison is better if you want to. Harrison is better than Ooze if you want to aim your deck more towards the control matchups. That would be specifically. I mean, that's sort of weird because. No, no, that's not too weird. So no, you try to Harrison the War Howl, you try to Harrison like the Stormforged Axe or something, you try to out-control some of the control matchups. It's worse against Hunter because you want to kill their bow pretty early, and against Rogue, it's sort of a toss-up.
Yeah. Okay. Amon, it's like, you running Ooze in your deck? Is it... Was Doomhammer actually one of the big things?
Doomhammer was not so big. It's very hard to... I don't think I ever used Ooze against the Doomhammer before. Not even Harrison. But then the Harrison and Ooze discussion, we actually had a lot of discussion with my chat. Like, they were discussing why we went Ooze over Harrison and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I actually came to a conclusion that you'd run Harrison because he's 4 health. And you want the bigger creature for more control matchups. You don't really want it for the card draw. Like, at least I don't. I like the 4 health a bit more. It's a bulkier creature. Yeah, that's kind of why I like Harrison over Ooze, for that matter. But against aggro, you run Ooze because it costs 2 mana. So, yeah, really. It's just the mana versus health kind of problem for me.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty cool. Mm. All right, so why don't we move on into the priest talk? And so what I did is I actually brought up both of our priests that we've been running recently. I figured it'd be a good comparison just because we have we have different priests, obviously. So let me bring it up real quick. Actually, where is it? It's here. I don't see it though. Here, let me. Let me bring them up really quickly here. Give me a second. This is kind of... Actually, let me switch this. Maybe this is... Well. Okay. Give me a second here. Why don't we take a quick break and I'll get these decks up here. For some reason, the overlays... All right, we're back. Got the decks up here. Okay, so what I did is I just kind of laid out 2 priest decks. One's mine, and then one's Maz's. Maz's is the nice shiny gold one that has all these gold cards. I have no gold cards in mine, of course. I know, but I figured we would kind of compare it at least as some kind of talking point, so that we can just kind of frame the talk around on the priest deck. And I know last time we had you on, we had you talk a little bit about it. Is there any maybe new things that you've added to your priest deck in the last season, and any any more findings that you've had even though with all your experience with the priest deck?
Oh yeah, I mean, I basically change my decks every single stream because it's really hard to find the right balance, especially with the changing meta. Mm-hmm. The main difference is the running only one Cabal Shadow Priest. Mm-hmm. Because running 2, usually you just have a dead hand. So running 1 seems to be much smoother. If you don't steal something for the Cabal, then you might as well run the Yeti.
Yeah.
And yeah, sometimes it's just very difficult to steal something. Even against Zoo, because because of all the buffs. Also added in Faceless. Faceless seems to be pretty good. It seems to be the solution to control decks.
Okay.
Because you can't really foot mind control. Mind control is you just lose a turn with mind control and usually die the next turn. So that's pretty much for that. And Sylvanas making a comeback, of course, because that's a more flexible mind control with Sylvanas Death. So yeah, those are pretty much the changes. And of course, the Ooze tech for the god amount of hunters in ladder right now. Yeah.
Okay, good stuff. Thoughts on Shadow Madness? Still really, really good in your eyes? Or no?
Not really, but it's necessary. I mean, the amount of times where you could use it against like a Zoo or a Hunter, it's basically a multi-shot. It's a worse version of multi-shot, which is actually we really need that. Actually teching a pain because the aggro is just too much sometimes, but pain can't be used on the piggy, so we're pretty sad about that. The pain could be changed to a smite, I guess. But I find Pain to be a bit more useful against Scarlet Crusader and those type of...
Yeah, that's true. Weapons, yeah. That's definitely a nice thing to it. Yeah, I mean, comparing ours is actually pretty different. Mine's more of a solid base type of, solid type of base kind of deck where I'm just kind of fighting for the board for a while, and that's why I feel like I can get to mind control. I can get to mind control almost every single game, actually. It's just a matter of, like, whether I have enough answers or not. You know, like a Handlock ends up doing really well against this deck because I just don't have quite enough answers for everything. But my deck's obviously a lot simpler. I think you have a lot more combo kind of playmaking ability in yours, which is kind of cool. The ooze helps quite a bit, I think, too, which is really, really nice. But the one thing that I discovered that was really, really cool, and I think Razor, kind of pointed out to me, was that Earthen Ring Farseer is amazing in Priest, just with the Akanai, and even though, just a life gain, of course, against like a Hunter, but even just the ability to do 3 damage, plus your hero power to doing 5 damage on a board play is pretty cool at like 9. What do you think about Earthen Ring Farseer?
Yeah, it's definitely a very good card. I really want to put another one in, but the thing is, Akanai is a very dead card, in my opinion, against Hunters. Like, every game I put an Akanai down against Hunter, I just lose, so I just never do it. Unless I have a Sunfury to back it up. So, because I'm only running Akanai, it doesn't make sense to run 2 Farseers anymore. So, yep, that's why I only run 1. I mean, I'm looking at your deck. The first impression I got when you sent me the deck list was there are no taunts. Yeah. And I was like,
well, there's Abomination.
If I play your deck, I would feel very unsafe playing against Hunters, you know?
Well, surprisingly, the hunter matchup isn't bad at all. Like, for one, the Abomination is something that's nice that you can just throw up there, and it's going to actually remove everything, like, in that combo, right? No matter what they do, unless they silence it. They can silence it with an owl, which can be really, really annoying. But it kind of functions as 2 things, the Abomination as a taunt and as a removal, all in one card, which is kind of why I ran that versus, like, a Sinjin and that sort of thing. But overall, against the Hunter, I don't know. I don't feel like I need a taunt. It's just got... with the Holy Fires and the Hero Powers and the Earth and Farseer, it just seems to have a lot of life gain that I can offset just a lot of the weapon damage. And the charge start is still difficult, right? When they start with 3 charge units, that's going to be difficult for any deck, I think. So, but just the typical average kind of Hunter, I think... my deck actually wins pretty easily against that.
But, yeah, I think you told me you had something like an 80% win rate.
I think 70%. 70% against Hunters with this deck.
So that's pretty impressive.
But yours is skewed more towards control. Mine struggles more against control, for sure. And given what I've been playing so far this season, it's been pretty rough since I've been playing a lot of control. but Trump, any thoughts on Priest?
In general, people have been commenting on Priest being one of the weakest classes.
Yeah, for sure.
I like how you two have come up with 2 very different takes on it, and I actually think that Priest could be a serious contender, and these are good starting spots, for sure. I don't have much to say. Like,
you haven't played it much. I know. No problem.
It's not that I haven't... Well,
you played a lot of Arena.
I can sort of theorycraft, and it sort of feels like it's a good foil against Hunter, because the Warrior is a good foil against Hunter, and that's mainly because of the hero ability, and the Priest and the Warrior have almost the same hero ability, especially against Hunter. And it seems like Amaz's deck plays out very similar to how Warrior Control would play against Hunter.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Feels like it would be great.
Yeah, I feel like Priest is a contender in tournament settings, especially. Not really in ladder, because ladder you always get like aggro stuff. But in a tournament where you have more decks than actual matches, so for example, you play 3 matches and you have only have five decks, you can choose from 5 decks. I think Priest could be definitely in one of those, because you could always bring it up as like a counter to something. So if they ever make those formats, then Priest would be good.
I mean, the one aspect of Priest that I really, really like is that you can play a reactive style, because of things like Cabal, things like even Mind Control, right? And, you can work in Sylvanas too, just like you did there. And there's this whole just stealing aspect to it, right, that I think does encourage more of a reactive style. So you don't have to necessarily straight out counter like a particular control deck, because you just have this general steal mechanic that just as good against any kind of control
Maybe it's your deck, but with my deck, my only playstyle is reactive, right? I mean, turn three, I usually drop a Thought Steal. It's just, usually a build-up. I don't think I've ever won a game before turn 10. So reactive style is kind of my only option.
That's what I was saying. Like, I really like that. Like, that you can play reactive with this class. I don't think you can do it so much with any of the others. I think that's true.
Yeah,
is that true, Trump? Trump, is there any other class you can play purely reactive?
Probably the closest would be the Warrior Control.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's more from a removal standpoint. Yeah, okay.
I will also comment on Moz, though. I'm surprised that you don't run, like, one copy of Mind Control.
Mind Control is so good,
You did just speak about how, like, if you spend your entire turn doing just that, you'll probably lose, but isn't Ysera almost the same thing?
Yeah, so Ysera was, I switched up Mind Control of Ysera, some time ago. It just feels like Mind Control is not that good. You need to rely on your opponent to play a big minion, and if they don't, then it's like sitting in your hand forever. And they usually know that, oh, it's a priest. They usually play around Mind Control as well. So it's just better for me to just, put out a Ysera. And even if it gets removed, I get a card out of it. I just don't need to wait. I already have so many waiting cards. So that's kind of my thought process behind that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Ysera, definitely there are a lot of games that end with Ysera just killing me.
Right, but I certainly bounce between Ysera and Mind Control a lot. That's true.
Ysera, when I play my deck, Ysera is actually the card that I feel like I have to save Mind Control for majority of the time.
Ysera is a pain to deal with if you're using a priest. Yeah.
You can't remove it, right? I have nothing that actually manipulates damage, so I can't remove it. So that's when it ends up, I end up Mind Controlling most of the time. But I'd agree with Trump, though. I think if you can get to it, Mind Control is literally, like, against a handlock, right? You're removing a giant and you're throwing down a big giant. So that's the biggest swing that you're going to get in a card, I believe, right? And it's an answer and it's a minion, right? So
yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah.
It's definitely hard to get there. But, you definitely are the expert in the priest, so
if Ysera gives you something like a nightmare, and then it's a removal of death already. So yeah, usually if you just don't get sisters, and Ysera will be a great card. Every time you don't get sister, it's a great card.
Yeah,
so
that's true. Let's see, any other comment? So Thought Steal. I know you still, you were saying that Thought Steal was like the best card in the game. Do you still feel that way?
Yep. I'm gonna feel that way until new cards come out, or if they change any cards. It's just it's actually very reliable in my opinion, because I know. I think I said this before, maybe not here, but in my stream, I was saying that people's decks generally counter themselves, right? I mean, you can Thought Steal Owls against Drakes. You can Thought Steal Black Knights against Druids. They tend to subconsciously counter themselves, because if you play a control, you need some kind of, you need big minions and you also need ways to remove minions. So that's the big plus of a Thought Steal.
I've never thought about decks subconsciously countering themselves. Trump, have you ever considered that?
I think that's dumb.
I think that's
I mean, it's more of the control decks want some way to beat control decks, and they throw in some cards to do that because you need to. On the topic of Thought Steal, I still find it hard to believe that it's so much better than Arcane Intellect, and calling it the best card is if you're a lot of the time you're playing Thought Steal on turn three, then isn't aggro going to run you over? I mean, of course, against aggro, you're not going to play Thought Steal on turn three, but it's just...
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, the way I look at it, is like, it's like a 10 drop, right? It's like, if you get a Thought Steal, you get to refresh your hand with, like, extra legendaries. If not, you only play Thought Steal if, you seriously have nothing to play on turn three. You usually save it till the end. Yeah, you kind of treat it like an Arcane Intellect, kind of. But you get so many possibilities of, like, double legendary cards, or even triple cards, stuff like that.
Yeah, I was talking to Miles earlier about it. It's just like, I feel like with Thoughtsteal, I either get two amazing cards or two really bad cards, or at least one just completely worthless card a lot of times. But for me, it's one of the most fun cards in the game, for sure. And it's powerful for, you know, it is powerful. Again, it's one of those cards that actually adds a card to the deck. You know, it actually adds two cards to your deck that you wouldn't have otherwise. And there's not very many cards in the game that you know, let you have plus, you know, 30 plus cards. And that's one of them. So that's kind of, that is powerful. It's a powerful aspect to it.
And there's a lot of combos that you can come up with, right? I mean, as soon as you steal like a Peacekeeper against a Paladin, you go, oh, yes, that's a great steal, because you could Cabal, Shadow Priest, a Tyrion. That just feels awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think about the Garabashi that I put in? Because that's one...
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. And you were talking about how it was doing really good, right? I don't know if it's really good, because there was one time in Priest I was making a new deck, and I really liked Turtles, because you could heal it back up. And I feel like that, oh, Garabashi is like a turtle that costs a bit more. So
it scales like way better than the turtle.
Scale, yeah.
I mean,
I feel like everything gets removed anyways in this meta. You could do some crazy stuff with Pyro with it, I think.
Yeah, so that's the thing about Garabashi. Let me get your thoughts on it, Trump, first before I explain why. What do you think about Garabashi?
I think Garabashi is also quite weak. The turn you play it, it's a 2/7, which is quite bad, and it's like a turtle, and takes some time to get rolling. Like, I can see how it'd be good against control. And I sort of want to talk about Thoughtsteal a little bit more.
Okay, sure, go for it. We'll come back.
It is really good against late game control, but it's just Arcane Intellect is also really good against late game control. Thoughtsteal has the added benefit of, like, they have no idea what cards you took, and you can surprise them, and it's, sometimes you get really lucky and get their really good stuff.
I mean, it is two different cards. It's not from your deck, right? So I think general card draw, I think you're right. It is just two cards, like, regardless of what they are. But they are additional cards. So if your deck already has... Like, if you had Arcane Intellect and you had Thoughtsteal, wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, it... No? You think it'd be the same?
No, I don't think they'll be the same. The best Priest cards comes not from Priest. So, yeah. I mean, I cannot imagine Thought Stealing a Druid deck and coming with like two bad cards. I just don't see it. Okay, I can even use Watchers. So,
On that point, then do you build a deck around Thoughtsteal? Like, do you build?
No, you don't. It's a special thing by itself, because the combos are already set, right? Because you can use Cabal Shadow Priest normally, you can use Pyromancer normally, anyways. Yeah. But you know, Thoughtsteal just adds that extra combo to your existing combos that you can really just work around that. And this, I mean, Priest is like the only class that can juggle like throughout, like, the whole spectrum of combos. Like, every single card is in your deck, possibly. And I still stand behind the subconsciously countering your own deck kind of philosophy. Okay. Except for Rogues, right? Miracle Rogues, you can't Thought Steal anything good. Even just a general Rogue, you don't really want to Thought Steal. So that's the only matchup I think Thought Steal is bad against.
So do you actually just avoid playing it? Or do you still play it just in hopes of getting Leeroy or
because you have nothing else to play, right? So because sometimes our turn threes are dead, we don't draw our Blade Masters, we don't draw our maybe our Sengins, something like that, it's pretty much dead, so you have you're forced into using it. But I treat Thoughtsteal as like a 10 drop sometimes, because you know, you're stealing something big, you're putting it's like sustain, like I call it sustain.
I hear you.
All right.
Okay. As for Garabashi, just my comments on Garabashi. The biggest thing about Garabashi, and just in general, right, with the Priest, which you've probably experimented with the Snapjaw, at least it sounds like, is the hero power, I think, works well with just keeping units on the board, right? So if your unit has a ton of health and can just stay on the board, then all of a sudden your hero power makes it that much more efficient, right? Like, you're two
right,
for
but
one
that's the
stuff.
Problem with the hero power. If you're using a hero power, you might as well drop the two drop. So using your hero power on a minion that's it's not as good as, you know, some people might think, because I mean, if you use a hero power sometimes on like a druid or something, it just means that you don't have like a better drop, or you need to remove that one health creature. It's like the kind of like the suboptimal play. So I don't think healing a high health creature is necessarily like a good thing, but it's just how priest works, right? I mean, we don't have a lot of drops. We like our cards have a lot of value, so that's why we like healing our minions, because we want to squeeze every bit of, you know, greed with the Arcanine Circle. We want to keep it in our hand as long as possible.
Yeah,
and stuff like that. So, well, I don't.
I mean, that's the one thing about the Yorubashi though, is it scales. Unlike the Snapjaw, which does not scale in damage, right? The Berserker can be infinite. Like, the damage can actually be infinite. Oh, not infinite. I mean, there's only so much damage you can do to it.
Oh, but, you can say infinite, yeah.
Yeah, just like in the scheme of the game itself, it could, you know, it could scale up to 50. Like if you just, you know, if it just stayed on the board forever, which it won't. But it's hard to remove the Yorubashi. Outside of a mirror matchup with Shadow Word Pain, it's, I mean, people don't like to spend a poly on it, or people don't like to spend a hex on it until it's actually activated, right? So a lot of times you'll get a removal, especially with like Druid or something, like with a Yeti or something like that. A lot of times you'll just get that one shot with it if you throw it down. I don't know. It's just something I've been trying for sure.
The base stats really aren't too interesting for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've just been experimenting with it. I mean, yeah. I think we've messed around with Venture Co too. You know, Venture Co and but the Venture Co just gives the deck a BGH target, which it doesn't really have right now. So that's kind of why I was like messing around with Yorubashi some.
Right. I mean, here's the thing. I would rather run a Fang Creeper in your in the slot.
Oh, okay.
Because if it's 6 health, right? 6 health already avoids a lot of things. The magic numbers are really 4 health and 6 health, right?
Yeah.
So.
Sure.
Yeah, I would rather have that. I mean, it's a taunt too, so it works well. So I would rather have that. Like, just blindly looking at it. I'm not testing anything, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'll try that out too. Okay, well, cool. That's, I think, concludes our priest talk. But why don't we take some questions? And I wanted to have the subs kind of ask questions if they want. And we'll go into subscriber-only mode here. And for all the, again, all the subs that want to ask their questions, go ahead and ask. But in the meantime, I'll ask one question from the Reddit thread while we wait. And let me bring it up real quick here. Some good questions today, too, in the Reddit thread. Let me sort by top, just whoever upvoted the or whichever question got upvoted the most. Okay, so Ajito asks, while we wait for subs, which of these two situations would be more successful over a sum of games played? And I guess I'll direct this question towards Trump, since he lists you in the example. So the two choices are A, Trump constructs an arena deck and hands it off to an average player, or B, an average player builds an arena deck and passes it off to Trump. The average player in question does not improve over the large sum of games played. So I think I know the answer to this one, but I'm curious to see what the degree of the answer would be. So Trump, what do you think? First off, what's your answer to that?
Okay, this one I sort of got from Hafu a bit, but she actually coaches some arenas, and she has commented that the average player doesn't actually build arena decks that badly. Like, there are some choices where they might disagree, but it's debatable, and I sort of feel the same way, that the construction of arena deck, there might be, like, 5 to 10 different cards, which is a lot, but it's not going to be, like, blatantly a worse card most of the time. So it turns out that while there's a big part of deck construction in terms of arena, in terms of getting a good mana curve, in terms of picking the best card, I think the average player will build a reasonable deck, and a lot of it has to do with how you play it. So I think that an average player building an arena deck and passing it off to me would be more successful than me building an arena deck and passing it off to an average player.
Do you think by a lot? Like, what do you think?
If we assume the average player wins 50% of the time, then it would be a substantial improvement. Probably get it up to somewhere in the 70% win rate area. Whereas I believe the other way around, maybe their deck would be slightly better, and then they might be winning like 55%. Right. Just throwing random numbers out there.
Okay, okay. Well, subs don't seem like asking any questions. Last call, so subs, if you want to ask questions, just type it out in the stream chat, and you'll get your questions asked. But in the meantime, we'll do one more Reddit thread, and then I'll free all you guys until then. Let's see, next up, I think we already asked that one. Okay, so IXAM... Retrospectual asks, question for Amaz. If you could put any other card from any class into a priest deck, what card would that be?
The first card that came to mind was Peacekeeper, like, immediately. But,
Oh, Aldor, okay.
Nice. Yeah, but maybe a 2-drop that's good. What's a 2-drop that's good?
A 2-drop that's good.
Fiery War Axe,
there you go.
Fiery War Axe. Yeah. Yeah, that would be pretty good.
Yeah, Fiery War Axe would be pretty awesome. In any
something,
deck, man.
Something that's 2 or 3, I'll be happy.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of great 2-drops anymore. Remember when 2 used to be just the amazing
Lightning
slot?
Lightning Storm would be really good, I think.
Which one?
Lightning Storm.
Oh, in the priest deck, Lightning Storm.
Oh, no, actually, the overload mechanic in priest is very annoying to deal with. Like, every time I thought to do something that's overload, everything messes up. It's just experience. Like, you know, I don't like overload stuff. It's okay in a shaman because they can, you know, work around that. But as a priest, I don't think it really works out. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't think there's going to be any questions from the subs today. Wow, this is working out great, dude. Okay, so we're gonna free up the chat. Oh, whoops! Free up the chat so you guys can go nuts again, and we'll continue asking from the Reddit thread. Let's see, Trump. Why do you never? It's from IXAM1212. Why do you never use your golden cards in your decks? It's like me.
I think it. Part of it is function, because it makes the deck list shorter so that you can actually post the entire deck list and not have it be crazy. And also it makes the editing easier, because having the golden cards might throw things off a bit, whatever. I also just have a form type of thing where I would rather a deck be all golden or all non-golden. So that's all.
Yeah, one of these days he's going to break out the bling when all of your decks, when you have every single card in the game. That's going to be awesome. Amaz, let's see. El Pablo 80 asks, how do you keep the faith and continue to roll with this underdog class? Obviously, you're a good player and you're doing well with the priest, but what keeps you motivated? Can you give me some ideas about how we might continue to be motivated as players?
I don't know for you guys, but for me, I always like to play like the underdog classes, like in any other game. Just like see what potential they are, like, you know, Dan in Street Fighter or stuff like that, you know, you just have that much more hype when you win or when you pull something that nobody expects. And really just to explore like potential, like what if you do stuff like this, or maybe you change some cards to make it viable. Because Blizzard did came out to say that all the classes are pretty well balanced in their minds.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe they have a deck that we didn't discover yet. So that's how, I don't know, the quest, the never-ending quest to
I respect that. I definitely respect that. I tend to kind of think that way too. Just... it's one of those things where it's just like you believe that there's something undiscovered, and it'd be great to discover it, you know, for the first time. And
it's also good because people watch my stream before they play me in the tournaments, and it's all just priests, so they don't know what I'm going to do. So that's a plus.
Yeah, it's different variations of priests, right? So
definitely just to throw them off.
Definitely cool. All right, why don't we ask one or two more questions, and then we'll call it a day. Let's see. Okay, so Ajito, actually he's one of the subs. When spectating eventually comes out, and assuming Blizzard allows anyone to spectate the top players without being Battle.net friends, kind of like you can see in League of Legends and Dota 2, are you concerned about the lack of privacy when building and testing new decks for upcoming tournaments? And Trump, I guess I'll direct that question towards you.
For me, it's not as big of a problem. I can definitely see the cases where you... I actually did this for the BlizzCon Invitational, where I played off-stream with decks that I planned to run, and I thought I was bringing some interesting new decks out there.
Yeah.
Which didn't end up being the case, but not, anyways. Yeah, sometimes you want to hide your top-secret tech, and that could be a problem. I actually can't even imagine... I don't think Observer Mode will be done that way.
I don't think so either. I don't think anybody can watch any, you know, I don't think it's quite like that. Can you do that in League? You still have to be on their friends list, right? To be able to watch
There's like featured matches where you can watch like the best players. Like, you could do that with Hearthstone. That seems like it'd be fun. If that were to happen, like, you might want to hide your account or something. And like,
well, you should be able to opt out of that. You should be able to opt out of that.
Well, I mean, generally you practice with teammates also, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. One more question here. Let's try to find a good one. Silence.
Hungry Crab was pretty good, by the way. That was exciting.
Thank you.
That was the most that was definitely the moment, the best moment of the tournament. Best moment. Okay, trying to... Okay, so up and away. It's kind of a question that we see a ton, but I just ask you guys. I don't think we've actually asked it in Q&A before. I know that this has been beat to the ground on Reddit due to all the Hunter bashing, but do you think that Unleash the Hounds needs a change? And if so, what do you think it should be? I'll ask Moss, you first. Well, I'll get both of your opinions. Do you think it needs a change first? And if it does, what change?
I think it shouldn't depend on your opponent's board. I think that's kind of weird. It does that because, yeah, like Flame Strike, it doesn't depend on your opponent's board. It just clears no matter what. It just does one thing. But one that scales with your opponent's board is kind of it's kind of counterintuitive, at least from like, if you're just starting out the game, you just want to put minions out there, right? I mean, yeah, it's just kind of counterintuitive that way. So the first thing I thought was to remove it along with about half of the priest class cards. So maybe just remove it and put something in.
Half of the priest class cards. Wow. Okay, Trump, what do you think of Unleashed the Hounds?
I think Unleash the Hounds is too strong. I think it should be bumped up to 3 mana. And I also think the Hunter class would be severely weakened as a result, so you'd have to buff a lot of cards. It's a really complex thing there. Since Amaz brought up an interesting point, I do agree that Priest free to play is hard, partly because the class cards for Priest are very situational and fit into one very specific deck of like Divine Spirit and Inner Fire. It's not terrible, but it's inconsistent.
Yeah.
No, it's terrible.
But who knows? Maybe the Blizzard guys came up with like they've kept that in there for a while, so maybe they have this top secret like Lightwell Inner Fire Divine Spirit deck, which is somehow consistent and like. Bam.
Yeah,
this was also known to not have very strong players too. So,
wow! Who said that? I want to hear who said.
I don't know.
Okay.
Come on! If you come up with Divine Spirit Inner Fire, then you know you're doing something wrong. So much hate.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a combo that people discovered actually early on. Remember the one? What is it? 120, I think, Deathwing or something like that. We saw that like really early on. Those were always kind of interesting. But yeah, I think that would be that'll be good even for Arena too, right? Arenas where the class cards really, I think it really hurts. There's a big difference I think between the class cards you get in other class, you know, just others while versus the priest. In that realm too. So, oh yeah, overall I think it'd be better. Unleash the Hounds for me. You think it should be 3 mana?
On a side note also, Amaz mentioned that Unleash shouldn't depend on your opponent's board, but I think that's actually a really cool feature.
I do too.
Yeah. Because it means your opponent can actually interact with you. Like, they have to make the tough decision on whether or not to play another minion, but maybe the dogs will get them if they do. It puts this cool tension on the board. I like the design.
Yeah, especially the way they changed it from the previous design. I feel like it was really elegant now that, you know, we're looking back on it and just the decision they made with it. But mana, yeah, I guess three mana. Three mana would probably be more appropriate given the power of it now that we... the versatility of the draw with the buzzard, or even just removal, or even finish, right? So, yeah, three mana, I could see that. I don't think it's too bad right now. I mean, maybe it's
worse. Should prefer the last version of Unleash the Hounds a bit more.
Really? Oh, yeah. My gosh. Okay, tell why. Why?
Right, because, you know, you can actually, like, develop a board, you know, get taunts up, and you actually feel safe. You can actually count, like, how much damage you're going to take at maximum. Like, I didn't find that to be a problem. I didn't think it was to be a problem really. Yeah.
Trump, what do you think? Did you like the previous version or this version?
The previous version I thought was okay. It was just in Blizzard talk, unfun, that you would get like 30-0'd. So
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the main thing. I mean, you know,
that just reminded me of the 28 damage Warlock burst. I may forget to nerf Unleash the House, nerf Warlocks, right? So far, for 0-4 damage, it's like, oh my god, it's just nightmares.
Wait, which 24? Which 24?
28 damage? You know, if you, yeah, you drop Leeroy, Overwhelming, Faceless, double Soulfire to the face.
Oh, double Soulfire.
If Warlocks are allowed to do that, then Hunters are allowed to use Unleash the Hounds, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess you can make that. Yeah, not to mention all the other, not to mention the handlock, just the rest of the handlock that they can run to, which is pretty brutal.
Yeah,
too. That's true. Yeah. Okay, guys. Well, I think that's gonna be it for questions, and thanks everybody for posting those questions in Reddit and upvoting them, all that good stuff. But I gotta wrap the show for this week. Definitely good times having you join us, Amaz. Always good to get some priest talk. We don't have many priests out there. There's only like. Maybe one handful of you guys, like, seriously out there that we can, that are experts and have had a lot of success. So, really great having you on. But you want to do any shout outs? Thank yous?
Yeah, I guess, thank you guys for inviting me. It was fun. And, my root buddies wants me to shout out, V3 Gaming and, TT Esports, of course. And, yeah, come watch my stream sometimes, I guess, to the viewers.
Awesome. Trump, shout-outs.
I'd like to thank Crip and Artosis for being over at Fight Night and doing their AMA.
Yep.
They've given me some excellent advice on grills.
All right. That it?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, man, Trump with a grill. Oh, that's going to be awesome. That would be awesome. So if you haven't checked out the AMA, I think it's posted on Reddit. You guys can see the VOD over at Reddit. But my shout out to Amaz and Trump, obviously, for doing the show with me this week. It's always a lot of fun. Amaz is actually going to be on Deck Wars too tomorrow. He's going to be playing against Masan. So be sure to check that out. It's at a new time, guys. It's going to be at 10 p.m. Eastern. We're I know it kind of sucks for you Europeans, but we're trying to know at a new time because there's usually a ton of League of Legends stuff that's after Deck Wars, so we're going to try to do Deck Wars after all this League of Legends stuff, and hopefully it'll be better slot to get new Hearthstone people, you know, to get League of Legends people into Hearthstone, and also to kind of avoid any of the big things like ESGN and that sort of thing. So be sure to check that out. It'll be me and Kayuki casting as usual, and should be some great matches there. And you can find the VODs for YouTube. I got the first part, guys. So if you guys didn't get a chance to watch part one of last week, it's there. It's on youtube.com/champmanb. You can find it now. It just magically appeared on Twitch, so it ended up working out. But this week's will be up on youtube.com/champmanb also right after the show. And follow us all on Twitch, twitch.com/champmanb/TrumpSC and /AmazHS. That's right? Amaz?
Yep.
Yeah, HS.
All good.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's going to be it. We'll be back next week, and we might be switching the times to this slot, this 2 p.m. Eastern slot, but I'll let you guys know moving forward. So that's going to be it for Value Town. So for Trump, Amaz, and Chan Man V, we'll see you next time. Later.